when our first reading from Deuteronomy 11, and it's about choice. And the same thing is in the gospel in another way. Moses said to the people, "Today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and doom." What does that mean? See, God has given us a choice. How do we want to live? Do we want to obey God? Or do we want to sort of compromise? You know, we're basically pious. We wouldn't want to go, you know, start a gambling joint or something. But where are we? You see, this is a text that talks about single-mindedness. How do we maintain that? Prayer. But also prayer during the day. You see, we can't be single-minded without the Holy Spirit. We just can't do it. So that reminds me, I'm interrupting myself here, but a great Russian saint, Seraphim of Sarov. He lived a lot of his life as a hermit out in the vast forest region of Russia. But he belonged to a monastery, Sarov. So he came back, as he was getting old, he came back and he lived just outside the monastery. And people used to come to see him. And one devout newspaper reporter came all the way out from Moscow to almost Siberia to consult him, to interview him. It's written up, that interview. I don't have it, but it would be nice sometime to find it. And he said, asked Father Seraphim, "What is the purpose of life?" Seraphim said, "The whole purpose of life is to acquire the Holy Spirit." That's very, and the word he used in Russian for acquire is a business term, you know, get a hold of, invest in, stake all your money here, you know, acquire the Holy Spirit. And so these words, which are on the page, are meant to become alive in our heart, you know. I set before you life and prosperity, death and doom. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today, loving him and walking in his ways and keeping his commandments, statutes, and decrees, you will live and you will grow numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering. As you go on with your life, the Lord your God will prosper you. But see, now these commandments, they're not the Lord trying to see whether we'll obey him or not. I mean, he knows that already. It's giving direction. It's another way to answer the question that they posed to Father Seraphim. What should I do to have eternal life? Obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today. Loving him and walking in his ways and keeping his commandments, statutes, and decrees. That's one way. Or you can say the same thing another way. Acquire the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? If you listen, if you seek the Holy Spirit and let him have his way in the depth of your heart, you will live. The gospel is another prediction of the passion. Luke intersperses these in that part of his gospel, which is called the Perean journey. Perea means other side in Greek. So other side of the Jordan. Remember how our Lord that Synoptist described that one visit, which is a literary device. Our Lord went every year on pilgrimage. But the Synoptics construct this theological use of geography and this one trip to Jerusalem to die. So he's on his way there. That's, remember how we're in chapter 9, remember? He set his face for Jerusalem. He set his face to die for us. And so now he's telling them, the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Now, all of these things, especially in Matthew and Mark, but also in Luke, they're followed rather quickly by a totally inept response of the disciples. Sometimes, especially in Mark, who's very good at this, a prediction like that is followed right away by something like, let us be on your right and left in your kingdom. You're going to be a big shot. We want to be a big shot with you. And he looked at them and said, you've got no idea what you're asking. You know, can you drink the chalice I'm going to drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with? And they say, we can, having no idea what they're saying. But he loves them. He said, you will be baptized, because they both died martyrs. You will. But left and right, that's not mine to give. It's up to the Father. Now, just think of saying that. This is God. He's infinitely equal to the Father. But part of that equality, you see, is the total reception of the Father's will. That's what makes him equal. For us, obedience is some sort of humiliation. For Jesus, it's equality with the Father. And we can get close to that if we follow the Father's directions, so that he can pour the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, which means sharing the intimacy with the Father that Jesus has.